Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Kamen Rider Chronicles. I'm your host, Joe, and for this episode, I'm going to be talking about episodes 1 and 2 of Kamen Rider, the first Kamen Rider series, or, as I've come to find out, Kamen Rider Ichigo. And I guess it's called Ichigo because Ichi in Japanese it means one. And I believe I saw that go is a suffix for, what did I see here? Suffix used for numbering items or people. So, yeah, it's, I don't know when they put Ichigo as a thing for this, but I know when I was looking up trying to find Kamen Rider, the first series, I couldn't find it, and I had to keep searching, and eventually I found out that it was called Kamen Rider Ichigo as well, and once I did, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense, and now I know. So, yeah, so Kamen Rider, this show started in 1971, and man, going from the current 2025 Kamen Rider to 1971, 50 years swing is over 50 years actually, is just kind of amazing. And it's also one of those things where, like, I've seen the original Kamen Rider before, like, I've seen the costume before, and just watching the episode now and seeing how Kamen Rider Zetsu is, Zetsu does kind of have a little bit of the grasshopper motif. I always kind of saw it as being a little bit of an alien theme, but I do kind of think that Zetsu has a little bit of a little bit of a grasshopper theme to it, like with the eyes as elongated as they are, and they do have like a little like antenna down the middle. Similar to what the original Kamen Rider had. Now, the mouthpiece obviously doesn't look like a grasshopper that Zetsu has, but the eyes kind of do, in my opinion. But, I mean, that's just me. I am also, like I said in the last couple episodes, new to Kamen Rider. I've only seen one series fully. And this will be my... I mean, I'm watching Zetsu right now as it comes out. I'm watching the original Kamen Rider now. I'm going to watch two episodes at a time, going through it for these episodes. So, in theory, I should be going through both Zetsu and the first Kamen Rider series and get through them both about the same time. So, because there's 98 episodes with that first season. But yeah, so this will be kind of a fun adventure going back and watching the original ones. And man, these first two episodes are interesting. But yeah, so the first episode is called The Eerie Man Spider. And it is literally that. Like, we are introduced to our protagonist. We're introduced to Takashi, I think that's how you say it, Takashi, there you go, Takashi Hongo, and he is just a regular college kid. He's practicing for an important race with his mentor, Tobi Tachibi. I am going to apologize because it's got similar to Zetsu, it's going to take me a while to get these names down. Tachibani. There we go. They're practicing for this race. Apparently, he is still not getting the lap just right, just the way he wants. So he's going to go for another try. He's going to try and shave off 10 more seconds. But when he goes, Man Spider is watching him. And he sends these shocker combat men after him to take him on. And these, it's all on motorcycles. So he's Takeshi. He does get away from these motorcycles. He actually like pulls a fast one on them. But then he eventually does get ambushed and he does get kidnapped. The man spider does actually get him. And he gets taken to a cave to be made into a cyborg. When he wakes up, though, he like wakes up mid transformation or mid modification. There we go. So he's been physically modified, but he hasn't been brainwashed yet. And his professor Hiroshi. We'll say Professor Hiroshi, because I'm not even gonna attempt to pronounce his last name. Comes in and saves him from before he can get brainwashed. He releases him, and then they go to try and escape. But the man spider ambushes them and threatens both the professor and his daughter. Takeshi, now in full Kamen Rider gear, helmet and all, he puts up a fight and is able to fight off Man Spider and all of the combat men, and, you know, escapes with the professor. Speaking of the professor's daughter, she actually is on her way to work. But she is not, something's not right. She feels like there might be a stalker. Like, she feels like there's a presence of a stalker after her. So she meets up with a friend, at work, but before they actually go to it, they talk to their boss, who tells them that her father, actually her, I think her boss actually is, Toby Tachibana, the mentor of, again, Hango, Takeshi, Hango. I had it before. It's going to take me a minute. You would think I would remember how to say these names. Takeshi. There we go. But yeah, no, so her boss tells her that the daughter's name is Rukio. And the boss tells Rukio that her father has been found. Apparently he's been missing for a while. And he knows where he is, and he gives her the address. But because Rukio is aware that, or thinks that she's being stalked, she asks her friend for some help. So what they end up doing is they switch clothes and her friend leaves so that the stalker follows her. And then Rukio takes her mentor's car, Tachibana's car, and goes to find her father. When Rukio does that, eventually get to the hideout that her father's at, but unbeknownst to her, though, is the man spider has a tracker on the car. So he now knows where the professor's at. And so before Rukio can get there, he sends some of his combat men and himself to go there and take care of the professor. Of course, when we get over there, the professor is talking with Takeshi, and he's apologetic because it was his idea to bring in Takeshi in the first place to Shocker. And Shocker is, I guess I should probably say what Shocker is. They're this evil organization that is trying to take over the world. I didn't bring that up before, but yeah, they're trying to take over the world by modifying everybody into cyborgs. Cyborgs with animal themes. I should point that out. So the man spider is a human that is now has a animal themed modification. But anyway, so yeah, the professor is apologizing to Takeshi, but he's just like, you know what? It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's okay. But the problem is that Rukia shows up and she's hearing the conversation and she's mistaking it as an argument. So when Takeshi isn't looking, though, the man spider shows up and kills the professor. Like, he actually, like, it's actually kind of cool. And again, it's 70s. And so they're limited compared to nowadays. They're limited to what they can do. But he, like, gets his webs and they come down through the ceiling and they end up wrapping around the professor and, like, chokes him out. Again, it's actually done really well. But yeah, so it kills the professor. Takeshi sees it. He tries to stop it. It's too late. And of course, right at that time when Takeshi is over the professor trying to save him, Rukio comes around the corner, sees him over her dad, and naturally she thinks he is the one that killed her dad. Because, like I said, she heard him arguing with her dad, and so she's putting two and two together, and somehow it equals 5. So she's not doing great here. But then Man Spider steps in, attacks Takeshi, and shoots a poison dart at him. He dodges out of the way to save Rukio, but the poison dart ends up hitting the professor and dissolves his body, so it gets rid of all the evidence. And obviously Rukio is seeing that, and she is, like, devastated, which is definitely not great. But now that the man spider has, blown his cover, he just full out just goes to hand-to-hand combat. And Takeshi is like, all right, bet, let's go. And so he goes full Kamen Rider. He transforms, and it is cool to see, because, I mean, compared to nowadays where they go, like, they are, I don't want to say that they're being extra with it, but it's a process nowadays. Back then, man, it was just like, all right, they're going to transform, and they explained it, where his belt sucks in the wind, sucks in the power, and that excess wind, as long as it's in his body, that's how he's able to transform into the Kamen Rider. And so anytime his belt starts to circle, or that's not right, but, like, wind up, I guess you can say, he is sucking in wind so that his body can transform into Kamen Rider. And it just happens. And it's really cool. Normally, so far in these two episodes, I think I've seen him on the bike do it. At least, was it on the bike? Now I don't even remember. Either way, he transforms and, goes after the man spider. And ultimately, like, it's actually a pretty decent fight, for 1970s. But Man Spider, of course, gets destroyed. He's no match for a Kamen Rider, because Man Spider is still being manipulated, and Kamen Rider is his own free will. At least that's the way I'm taking it. So Kamen Rider Takeshi has, he contacts Tachibana and has him take Rukio home, because he doesn't want to face her specifically, because in her eyes, Takeshi killed her father. So obviously he's not going to want to be around her. So we go to our next episode, and it is called The Terrifying Batman. And I know, it's 1971. We already had one with a Spider-Man. This is a Batman. our next one has a Scorpion Man. So like, they definitely just, I mean, again, it's all animal based. What are you going to do? Anyway, so this one was very interesting, kind of fun. You know, we start out with this woman who, Miho, she gets home to her apartment and she gets, she starts hearing some laughter. She gets inside only to be attacked by said Batman, and he ends up biting her. And that's what we see for her. We then get back. We then find Takeshi, and he is in his motocross racing. He ends up winning the race, which was, you know, great for him. And I do like this because as he is as he's sitting there with Tachibana, like Tachibana's like he's proud of him. He shows him like the stopwatch, like, hey, you did a really good job. You were even able to shave off a couple more seconds. Then Miho walks up with a bouquet of flowers and is going to go ahead and give him a kiss. And Tachibana is like, oh yeah, hey, hubba hubba. And she leans in and Takeshi sees her in the mirror and sees that she's, instead of going to kiss him on the cheek, is going for his neck. And he quickly pushes her out of the way, pushes her like off of him. And then she falls to the ground and we see fangs start growing out of her mouth. We see her face start to like discolor. And then she just starts struggling, and then the face, like the fangs grow a little longer, her face keeps discoloring until it covers her whole face, and then she ends up dying. And then we see back at said apartment, we see another woman who has been infected by a virus. It's actually like splotches all over her face, and she is trying to tell her husband to get out. Like she doesn't want to infect her husband. And right at that moment, Takeshi shows up at the building because he was able to figure out where Miho had lived. And he figures something there caused her to get sick and become this being. And so when he gets there, he hears the scuffle, rushes up to the room, finds this woman and sees what's going on, and he tells this guy, so he stops this woman from attacking her husband, and even tells him to like get out of here. But the problem is that when she when he doesn't knock her out or anything, but he notices that she also has some fangs going in, and her face starts to discolor a little bit as well. Like, and when I say discolor, it like there are lines aren't the right term. It is patterns, like it's actual patterns going across the face. Like it is specific. But anywho, it turns out when Takeshi is walking around, he ends up walking by a couple other rooms, and some of the people step out, and all of them are infected. All of them have fangs and the patterns on their face. So it's just, the whole building is just an experiment for Shocker. It's really an experiment for the Man-Bat, who pops up and tells Takeshi all about it. He basically tells him that the apartment is an experiment for Shocker to have a testing ground for a virus that will propagate in humans to allow them to manipulate humans easier. And then the Man-Bat escapes, sicking all of the test subjects on Takeshi. of course, Takeshi's not going to let that stand. He's not going to hurt all of these normal people. So he jumps out the window, chasing after the Man-Bat, and ends up fighting him on top of the roof. And he does get some good looks in. We go over to the great leader of Shocker, which looks is on a wall in the Shocker base, and it's just a light at the moment. So I'm sure we'll see that eventually. But he's announcing to his combat men that the Batman signal has fizzled out because he is put himself in the defensive self-hypnosis. Just a fancy way of saying that he got caught. Yeah, because he was in a self-hypnosis, he has now put all his subjects into a self-hypnosis. Sure, why not? So, we move on to Rukio, who goes and talks with Tachibana over at the Snack Amigo, which is the place that she works, the place that obviously Tachibana works at. He owns it. I think he's the boss there. Maybe he doesn't own it, but he's the boss there. And she's asking about Takeshi. And it's actually kind of funny because Tachibana receives a call from Takeshi, but he quickly hangs up and doesn't let Rukio know that. So, like, he's like, oh, wrong number. Sorry. You're still here? Yep. What are you doing here? She leaves, obviously not believing anything that Tachibana is saying. And so he calls Takeshi back and is like, all right, so where are you at right now? And he tells him that he's at the Jonin University, which I believe is... he's there analyzing some blood samples of one of the victims. And he's able to find out that the virus is a sentient and responds to infrasonic waves upon reaching the brain. So he asks Takeshi asks his colleague, Kishimori, there we go, if he's able to make an antidote, and Kishimori's just like, yeah, no, that's out of the question. There's just no way I can do that. I don't even know where I can start. And so that is not great for Takeshi. Of course, the thing is, though, Rukio was listening in to Tachibana when he made the call back to Takeshi. And so she made her way to the university. And when Takeshi left, she was waiting there with her friend, Hiromi. I believe she was the friend from first episode as well. And they decided to start following Takeshi. Now, the thing is, though, Takeshi made his way over to Snack Amigo. And when they realize that, they go rushing in and they make their way back to Tachibana. And they're like, wait, where did Takeshi go? What's going on? And he's like, wait, who are you looking for? There was some guy that came in here saying that there was a couple of girls. There was somebody following him and he was really weirded out. I just let him go. Oh, man, that was you guys? Oh, I'm so sorry. It's actually kind of funny. So, back at the Shocker lab, Takeshi and Tachibana investigate the scene, and Takeshi is going to try and save the victims. You know, he's going to try and find a way. So, he asks Tachibana to watch everybody. There is one guy tied up while everybody else is just laying there, and the guy that's tied up, I'm pretty sure is the Man-Bat, just not in his Man-Bat form. He's in his human form. Because I'm assuming this guy is similar to Takeshi, where when he's not transformed, he just goes back to human. They're like, because they're all cyborgs, right? They're all like these agents of Shocker that are able to just go back and forth. At least, and this is, again, coming from the knowledge of what I have from the Shin Kamen Rider. I know, and just Kamen Rider in general, the Kamen Riders can transform from obviously a Kamen Rider to human. And even I know in just Gav, Kamen Rider Gav, what were they called? The Granutes were able to hide out as humans. Now they had a device that did that, but yeah, so I would just assume that, and I also assume that this guy is the Man Bat, because the scene next, when Takeshi leaves Tachibana here, he's sitting there watching. Rukio, who thinks that Takeshi's still in this room and thinks that this is Takeshi sitting here, she comes up with a glass face and knocks out Tachibana because she thinks it's Rukio or Takeshi, and realizes she was wrong, but then sees the one guy who's all tied up and goes to untie him because he says, that he's got evidence that Takeshi killed her father, and he can prove it. Because that's what she's looking for. She questions him, and she asks him if he knows who Takeshi is and what she's trying to do. And so he basically manipulates her, and once he unties her, he attacks Rukio. And then when Takeshi hears her screaming, he comes rushing up, and we see Man-Bat there holding Rukio. So I can only assume that this guy was actually the Man-Bat in human form. So he was waking up out of his hibernation at this moment when Rukio showed up and knocked out Tachibana. But because he is now awake and he infected her, now it is Takeshi is at a very precarious moment where he's like, oh shit, now I really need to find an antidote, because he inadvertently, I mean, it's not his fault. Rukio definitely was following him on her own, out of her own free will, but he also feels bad for, you know, her father dying, and now she's blaming him for her father dying, but he doesn't want her to be killed for Anus either. But now he really wants to save her. And so he like even questions Man-Bat, is like, is there any way that to save these people? And Man-Bat is like, well, yeah, of course there is. And he grabs one of the other people, and he takes his wing and he scratches them, demonstrating that he has the cure. He has the cure to the virus that will save these people. And it's just a scratch from his wing. And it does. It cures this guy. But he's like, but you're never going to get it. And then he like basically throws Rukia off to the side, letting her basically succumb to this virus and die. Tachibana grabs her and is trying to like comfort her, while Takeshi chases after him. And of course, he transforms as he chases after, and we get another fight with these two up on the rooftop. And this fight is a little bit better. We also get some combat, Shocker combat men with this one as well. Of course, the combat men don't do nothing. But this one was kind of fun. At one point, I believe Kamen Rider ends up ripping a wing off of the Man-Bat, and then ends up, you know, killing Man-Bat. But since he has a wing off, he's able to go down there and use the wing after the battle's over and use it to take, basically make the cure, use it to cure everybody in the room, starting with Rukia. Rukio, sorry. I knew I was going to say it wrong. I've watched too much Bleach. But yeah, so that's kind of where we end it. And now Rukio knows. Oh yeah, there was a moment where Manbat, while he had her holding her captive, like he stated that Takeshi didn't kill the professor. Like he didn't do it, obviously, but he said that Takeshi didn't do it. Basically getting him off the hook, and Rukio heard it, and I believe she finally understood it. So now that, you know, she forgave Takeshi, he's able to kind of go about his business, I guess. I mean, his business now is to take on Shocker while still having a life. But either way, this was another one. This was another fun episode. Again, seeing these 1970s shows, episodes, is really good, really fun. I do appreciate the older stuff, and I appreciate what they're able to do with practical. That is the big thing. Because I know, especially with like the Sentai, and I mean Power Rangers even, when they get into some of like the 2000s, they go full CG on like some of the Zords, and it's just like, why? I don't like it. So the fact that, and I know Kamen Rider isn't like that, but even with Kamen Rider Gav, they did a lot of backgrounds, a lot of the blue screen, which wasn't terrible. Like it did vibe well. I didn't mind it. It worked, but I don't know. There's just something about practical that I really appreciate. And so being able to see that here is something that I really, really did like. As for this episode themselves, I really did enjoy them. Seeing the beginnings of a show that has been going on for 50 years, 50 plus years, is something, is nothing short of amazing. And also knowing that this show is still going on. Like actually some of the stuff that I've seen here on the Kamen Rider Wiki, something that's really cool is that like the very first Kamen Rider episode, it is also the 1000th episode aired 40 years after it to the day. And that was due to the 2011 Tohoku earthquake. So that is actually kind of cool. I mean, the earthquake isn't cool, but the fact that the first episode and the 1000th episode was on the same day, 40 years apart, that's really awesome. Also, apparently, it said in the first episode that Takeshi is said to have an IQ of over 600 and is physically athletic. So that's why he is a perfect specimen for Shocker, why the professor offered him up as a perfect specimen, why Shocker wanted him. Let's see what else we got here on some of the notes. That's kind of it for now. We're going to see a lot of, I know apparently according to the wiki, these characters do come back for a couple episodes. I know, and I think I said it an episode or two back, we get multiple Kamen Riders, and I knew we were going to get two of these grasshoppers, mainly because of Kamen Rider Shin, or Shin Kamen Rider. I knew that was going to happen. So, and looking a little, looking into it here, I know we get a second Kamen Rider fairly quickly, actually, either episode 13 or 14. So, and then he is, the second Kamen Rider is here for a bit. But yeah, so we'll get into more of that on the next couple episodes. I think I'll try and do about two episodes at a time. That being said, when we get to like episode 13, I might do like 11, 12, 13 to wrap up that whole Takeshi storyline. Or maybe I'll just do just 13 by itself. I'll figure that out when I get to it. But no, this one was fun. These two episodes were fun. And yeah, I look forward to doing more of these. I look forward to going through the whole series, honestly. Because these are fun. They really are. So thank you all for listening. You can find the show over... you can find Comic Book Rundown over on all the socials, at Comic Book Rundown. You can email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Rate and review us on your podcasting app of choice. If you would like to be a part of the show, please hit me up on the socials. Let me know. I would love to have guests come on and talk Kamen Rider on the show. But other than that, yeah. So thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.